get ready to step off and hear your word, Lord God. Father, we pray that your spirit be amongst us, Father God. Father, we pray that your word pierces our hearts and pierces our minds, Lord, so we can surrender to you. These and many other things we ask in the Son of Jesus Christ's name, for his sake and his sake only. Amen.
Amen. Well, would you take your Bibles this morning and open them to the book of Colossians? We are in the process of going through a study that I've entitled The Firm Foundations. And the Scripture tells us that the greatest foundation of all is Jesus Christ, our chief cornerstone. But I love this passage in Colossians chapter 1. I'm just going to read a portion of it right now. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven, on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Folks, I grew up in an era in my life, which some of you did as well, where I began to hear people proclaim that they were the greatest ever.
Yeah.
And one particular one comes to my mind, and probably does to you. This young upcoming boxer began to proclaim himself as the greatest.
Yeah.
Y'all know who I'm talking about. And yes, he was a very good boxer. No doubt about it. But he's not the only one. There are people who come along and they just say, you know, I'm the greatest wrestler, I'm the greatest golfer, I'm the great. All these people want to be the greatest. Right? And I commend them for training hard and working hard and doing the best they possibly can. But there's only one, the greatest. And that's Jesus. It kind of interests me sometimes, by the way, what we'll stand and cheer for.
Yeah.
You know, some guy will take this oblong ball and he'll throw it down the field and somebody else will catch it and they'll cross this line. And the whole stadium goes bonkers. People throw their babies in the air and all kinds of stuff. I mean, people go crazy. They paint themselves different colors. They hold up huge signs. I mean, they go nuts. And then we come into the house of God. We talk about Jesus and everybody goes, amen. I don't get that. I don't want it to be berserk. I'm not talking about that. But I'm thinking we need to give Jesus the credit that's due to Him. Because He is the greatest this morning. I want us to take a look at this passage beginning in verse 15. I already read a portion of it, but we're going to read all the way down to verse 22 now. He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible, invisible, thrones or powers, rulers or authorities. All things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He's the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have supremacy or preeminence. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now, He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in sight, without blemish, and free from accusation. Father, I thank You for this incredible passage this morning that we can stake our firm foundation upon Jesus Himself and who He is. Lord, He is not just a man. He is not just a good teacher. He is not one who just came and proclaimed the things of God. Jesus is God. And I pray, Father, that as we look at this morning, You'll speak to all of us by Your Holy Spirit. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, I want you to look at His person. The personhood of Christ Himself. The Bible says He's the visible image of the invisible God. What man could not see with his physical eyes, God allowed by giving us His image. You see, I think for most of us, we're kind of like, if I can see it, it's okay. But if I start talking about something that's abstract, I don't quite understand it. He is the visible image. The Scripture says this. The word image comes from the Greek word icon, which we get the word icon from. You know what an icon is? If you get on the computer very often, you know what an icon is. If you go to a cathedral, you know what an icon is. It's a picture of something that represents something. So if you go on your computer and you click on that E, it's for the Internet. Explorer, right? All of our technical people know that stuff, all right? So, it's an icon. And it says if you'll click here, you'll get to where you're trying to go. Jesus was the physical image of God Himself. He was the icon. If you click on Jesus, you get God. All right? Man has always said you have to see it to believe it. So God showed us Himself as Jesus. In fact, the Scripture says, even some of the disciples didn't quite get this yet. But John 14, verse 9 says it like this. Jesus answered him, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How could you say, 'Show us the Father'?" Jesus is saying, man, you've been clicking on this icon the whole time and it's taking you right to the Father. You're seeing the Father. Jesus is God dwelling among us. That's why His name was called Emmanuel, God with us. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1 says it like this. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful Word. You see there, Jesus wasn't a knockoff. Jesus wasn't a second-hand God. Jesus is God who came to show us what He was like, His personhood. Second of all, His position. As the person, the Scripture says, He is before all things. He's before all things. His preeminence is before all things. Who He is before anything else. He has always been and will always be. In fact, Revelation says He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Now folks, there's a lot of people who say they believe in Jesus, but they're not looking at Jesus like this. I had two of them come to my door yesterday. Knocked on my door and said, "We want to tell you about Jesus." And I said, "Hey, I want to tell you about Jesus. I just happen to have my outline right here." They didn't want to hear about this Jesus. Oh, we're going to have to move on. Well, Jesus is God. He is before all things. He's always been. He always will be. The Word is our Word. He is preeminent, which means surpassing everything else. He's superior in all facets of who He is. He's God. Let me tell you something, folks. No one or nothing can come before Jesus. It is Him and Him alone. Is that the Jesus you know? Is that the Jesus you serve? He's not an add-on. He's not something that comes alongside you and says, "Okay, you do your best and then I'll take care of the rest." That's not Jesus. Jesus is before all things. Someone wisely said, nothing is to come before Jesus. Nothing is to outshine Jesus. Nothing is to eclipse Jesus. He is to be out in front of our lives, in our families, in our priorities, in our churches, in our dreams, in our worship, in everything. He is to be the all-important one we follow after. He is superior in His importance because He is in first place. And that's when you ought to jump and shout like there was a touchdown just scored. Folks, I'm telling you. Do we understand who Jesus really is? He is God. In His personhood, in His position. And oh, by the way, the Scripture goes on to say, even in His power. The Bible says He's the head of the body, the church. Do you know what the head does in the body? It controls everything. The head is in control. Nothing happens in your body that doesn't come from your head telling it what to do. Now, if your head's messed up, the whole body's messed up. Right? By the way, how many of you ever roofed a house? You have, Fred. I know you've been on a roof. Roofing a house is not all that much fun. Especially in Texas. Because it's always hot in Texas. And I remember helping my dad roof our house. My dad would he would work all day long, every day, keep working. You know, and after a while I'd get tired. And I'd be hammering those shingles down and holding that nail. And pretty soon I would hit something other than the nail. You ever did that? Yeah. I've lost that thumbnail probably 3 or 4 times. And you know what? Once you smash your thumb with a hammer, you know everything that thumb gets anywhere close to. Right? Because you're not going to touch it against anything. It hurts so bad. And man, we protect that thumb and we try to keep put something over it, try to put a little plastic thing over it, whatever we can do to keep it from getting hurt any worse. And if that little thumb can control my whole body, why don't I let the head control me? God is in control. He wants to control us. He is the head of the body, the Scripture says. Now look at what it says. As the head, Jesus is responsible. I love this. I love this. This is a key principle. If you don't remember anything else today, please remember this. As the head, Jesus is responsible for His church. He's responsible for its protection, for its reproduction, for its growth, for its provision, and for its continuation. You see, folks, the church is not our responsibility. It's His. My responsibility and your responsibility is submit to the head and fulfill the place within the body that He has assigned to us. He is superior in His influence because He's in control of His church. And unfortunately, most of the time, it's people who want to run the church. It's pastors who have come in and want to run a church. Folks, did you know in Scripture That's not the purpose of a pastor. The pastor is to study God's Word and to pray and to feed the sheep. I don't want to control this church. I want Jesus to be in control of this church. He's the head. He ought to be doing that. The person of Jesus. Secondly, this morning, His position. The Scripture goes on to tell us that He is the Creator. It says, "For by Him all things were created. Things in heaven, earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him." He is the Creator. Everything exists because He created. There's not one thing that exists that Jesus didn't create. In fact, John chapter 1 verse 3 says it like this. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. Now, what does that say? All things. All things were made through Him. You see, He's the one who stepped out of nowhere onto nothing and spoke it all into being. Think about that. You know, man can invent things. We can come up with stuff. We can make something out of something else. But Jesus created. He made everything out of nothing. That's Jesus. The only one who could do that. And He spoke it into being. He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. He is the Creator. He's also the Sustainer. It goes on to say, all things were created by Him and for Him. He's before all things, and in Him all things hold together. A few weeks ago, I showed that little clip of laminin. Just as a reminder to us, the only reason your body stays together is because it's being held together. As being held together by the cross. He is in all things, and in Him all things hold together. I tell you what, folks, the only reason the planets and the stars follow their prescribed orbit is because He holds them in place. The only reason the molecules that make up our bodies and the worlds around us don't fly off into space, because He holds it all together. He sustains everything. That's Jesus, the greatest. And as the head, He not only came for His church, He died for His church, and He rose again for His church, and He lives now for His church, and He is the one who is the director and leader of His church, and He's ever interceding for His church. He is the focus. He is the centerpiece. He is the hub. He is the reason we gather together, that we study His Word, that we pray, that we worship Him. He is the reason. And it's not because of a number of people over the course of years who invested themselves in this building that this is a church. He has invested the most. He gave His very life for us. The person of Jesus, amazing. The position of Jesus, amazing. But the most important part of all of this is the provision of Jesus Himself. Look at what it says. And He is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have preeminence, supremacy. For God was pleased to have all of His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him, look at this, it says, through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, not just a few, all things, to reconcile them to Himself, whether things on earth, things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Jesus is our provision. He's our reconciler. Now the word reconcile in Greek literally means to put things right. You reconcile your checkbook, means you make it right. It balances. Does that ever happen to anybody, by the way? Okay. Mine never does. But anyway. Our only hope for salvation comes from the only one who could make us clean and whole and forgiven. Our reconciler, Jesus Christ Himself. He's the greatest. He looked at our account, which could never be reconciled, and He paid it off. He made it right. I tell you what, folks. Some people may have done some pretty good things for you, but there's nobody that's done more for you and for me than Jesus Christ Himself. Because He saw my account, and I was bankrupt. I had no chance. I had no chance to be in the presence of God. Because I got sin in my life. And so do you. For all of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. But God demonstrated His love for us in this. While we were still bankrupt. While we were still sinners. While we still no way we could make it on our own. Christ died for us. And He made it right. He made it right, folks. You don't have to try to earn your way into heaven, because you can't do it. It's futile. No one can be good enough to get into heaven. He is our reconciler. Not only that, He's our Redeemer. To redeem means to buy something back. To free from captivity by the payment of a ransom. That's literally straight out of Webster's dictionary. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but He washed it white as snow. Many years ago, I heard a little story about a young boy who decided he was going to build him a little boat, a little sailboat. And he worked on it every single day, and he would ask his dad to come in and help him out, and his dad would give him instruction and help him out a little bit and say, "Man, you're doing a good job," and he would encourage him. And this little boy worked on that boat. Finally came the day where he said, "Dad, I think it's ready to sail." His dad said, "Okay, well, let's do it. Let's take it out to the stream down the way, and we'll see how it works." And the little boy was so excited, he put that little boat out there in the stream. And he was watching that, and the wind came up a little bit, and boy, it took off. But it started going so fast, the little boy couldn't catch up to it. Ultimately, he saw it go out of sight, and it was gone. The little boy was so sad about it. He was crushed. He had put so much effort and so much time into that little boat. He built it himself. Well, a few weeks later, he was walking down the main street of town, and he looked in the window, and in the window was that little boat that he had made. And he went in, and he talked to the shop owner, and he says, "That little boat that's in your window, I built that boat. I lost it a few weeks ago. It's my boat." And the shop owner looked at him and said, "No, son, it's my boat. And if you want it, you'll have to buy it." The little boy was crushed. Why should I have to buy something that I made myself? He said, "Because it's now mine. And if you want it, you'll have to buy it." And so the little boy started gathering Coke bottles and tin cans and all kinds of stuff. And over a period of weeks, he saved up enough money to go and buy that boat. He walked in with that pocket full of change, and he poured it out on the counter, and he says, "I want the boat that's in the window." And the owner counted it out. He said, "It's paid for. That boat's yours." And the little boy was so happy again. He grabbed the boat, and as he was walking out the door, he could hear that owner say, "You're twice mine. I made you and I lost you, but I bought you back. You're twice mine." And that's what Jesus has done for us. He made us. But He lost us to our own ways and our own desires. But He was willing to buy us back. He is our Redeemer. And the price was His own perfect blood. I mean, you think about it, folks. There was no other blood that could satisfy the holiness of God. The only blood of spotless, sinless Lamb that could cover or atone for our sins was the blood of Jesus. He paid a debt He did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, "Amazing Grace." Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. He's my Redeemer. And my Redeemer lives. He's the reconciler. He's the Redeemer. But He's not only those two things, as amazing as those are. He's also the restorer. He has made right what was wrong. He brought us back into a right relationship with God. You see, Adam and Eve had a right relationship with God, and they walked in perfect unity with God in the garden. And the Bible says that every day, all day long, they were in the presence of God. But then they chose, by selfish desire, to do something that God had told them not to do. And immediately, the fellowship between them and God was broken. And even at that point, God already had a plan to bring man back to Himself through Jesus Christ. He made peace for us through the blood, the perfect blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus, by the way, is so powerful that it can take the vilest of sinners and wash them so clean that in His sight, that in the sight of God, they are viewed as sacred, spotless, and beyond accusation. That's amazing to me. Jesus is the greatest. He's the greatest, folks. And now He presents us as blameless, without blemish, and free from any accusation. I tell you, folks, if you don't understand that, then you don't know Jesus. That's why Paul was writing the church at Colossae that were so filled with Gnostics who started saying all kinds of dumb things about God and about Jesus. And Paul says, no, here's the truth. The truth is, Jesus is God. God who came in the flesh, dwelt among us, paid the price for us, and redeemed us and restored us to a relationship with Him. And you know what? Because of all that, I want to read this passage out of Philippians chapter 2 to close with. Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but instead made Himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself. He became obedient to death, yes, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted Him to the highest place. He gave Him the name that's above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus, You're the greatest. You're the greatest. Amen. Heavenly Father, I come to You this morning, and I just pray right now that people that are able to be here today and have heard Your Word would not only recognize what You've done for them through Jesus Christ, but that, Father, even maybe someone who listens online to this message would also know and recognize that Jesus wasn't just another good man who came and taught and had disciples that would follow Him. But Jesus is You. In Your fullness, complete, and the only one who could be a substitute for our sins. The perfect Lamb of God who washes away the sins of the world. Oh Father, I just come to You this morning and I thank You for Jesus, who is the greatest. This church is not about this building. This church is not about the people who come to this building. This church is about Jesus. And we honor Him and lift Him up and exalt Him. And Lord, I pray that as we continue to do that, You will draw all men unto Yourself. For Jesus even told His disciples, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto Me. Jesus, You are the greatest. Jesus, You've done everything for us. Jesus, You have sacrificed it all for us. And so, Lord, we come to You this day. And we ask that if there's anyone here in this building today who's never trusted Jesus as their own personal Lord and Savior, that this will be the day. You can't trust in your own works because they'll all fail. You can't trust in going to church and doing religious things because those will all burn away. The only thing you can trust in is Jesus Himself and what He's done for you. And I want to encourage you, if you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, you would do that today. That maybe you'd pray a prayer, simple prayer like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe You're God. I believe that You became a man so that You could come and speak to us and show us what God is really like. But not only that, so that You could become the ultimate sacrifice for all who will believe. And so, Lord, today, I believe in You. I place my faith in You and my trust in You. And I realize that I could never save myself. I could never make myself right. I could never redeem my own sins, but Jesus could because He was perfect. The perfect Lamb of God, as John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And so, Lord, I just pray right now that You will give me a new life. I trust You as my Savior. And I repent of my sins. That means I turn away from them and I turn to You. And I will follow You and You will be my Lord. And I will keep my eyes on You. If that's where you are this morning and you really would pray a prayer like that and you really mean that, the Bible says that you would, if you pray that prayer and truly mean that, if you give Him your life, if you repent of your sins, the Bible says you'll be saved. That means when you stand before God, God won't be looking at you. He'll be looking at Jesus through you. And the price that was paid for your sins is already taken care of. And He will see you as whole and pure and righteous. If you'd like to do that this morning, if you have not yet done so, I encourage you in just a moment as we stand and start to sing this song, Jesus Paid It All. As we start to sing this song, would you do something that's not easy to do, but just step out from where you are and come down to the front and take me by the hand and say, Pastor Rod, I gave my heart to Jesus. Or I want to give my heart to Jesus. How can I do that? Whatever it is that God is speaking to your heart about this morning, I'd love to help you. That's why I'm here. Maybe you're looking for a church home, a place where you can feel like you can be a part of a group of people who want to honor Jesus and exalt Him and lift Him up. This church is not about this building and it's not about all the things that we can do. It's about Him. And if you want to be a part of a church like that, I would encourage you to come and join with us. Maybe you just want to come to this altar this morning and just praise Jesus because He's the greatest. Whatever it is that God has put on your heart this morning, I want to encourage you to do it. Don't put it off. Don't say, I'll try to do it some other time. You don't know that you'll have another time. Today is the day of salvation. Today is your opportunity to make Jesus Lord of your life. Whatever God is saying to your heart this morning, don't put it off. Don't listen to the evil one who says it's not that important. You can do it another time. It's not a big deal. Listen to the Spirit say, today is the day of salvation. Let's stand. Let's begin to sing. Whatever God is saying to your heart, would you come?
I hear the Savior say,